A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grave, that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther toward Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham spoke up again, "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." But Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20, but he still persisted, "Please, let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" He replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Kind and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. Bless your God's name, my being. Bless your God, O my soul, and never forget God's kindness. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. Ignores every fault, cures your body's illness, pulls your life from its grave, and crowns you with love and mercy. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love. God works good for the poor, treats oppression justly. God, his kindness and love, abounding in steadfast mercy. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
Sisters, may our Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. And do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of his friendship, he will get up and give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. And how are you? Don't you love when God calls you wicked? Whoa. Now, if I was to do that, oh, please, I'd be out of here in about 2 days. He called us wicked. I would never do that. Jesus did. I didn't have to. But the reality, what these are about, the first reading and the gospel especially, is about prayer and about the how-to of prayer, huh? This is how God's calling us to pray. And it's not either or, it's both and. You know, so again, he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. And again, not this isn't the same as in Matthew's gospel. It's a little bit different. There's things missing. Because again, he was telling us, this is a way for you to pray. And of course, we canonized it, made sure all the words fit together, and we all memorize it since we were a child. And that's good and important. But prayer always got to be more. And so when you look at Moses in the Old Testament today, he was so real with God. And he could be that way because he was intimate with God. And again, when you're intimate with anybody, you got to be real because they know you anyway. And so when we focus on prayer, the first thing that's necessary is that we got to be real in our prayer. We just got to be real. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows if we're struggling. He knows if we're angry. He knows if we're wanting to not be forgiving. He knows it. So share that with him. Be real with him. Don't just, when you're upset or you're wondering and you're doubting, don't just say certain prayers, because God knows your heart. Often after I have to say my prayers every day. I do the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I say the rosary. I do all the office readings. And the Lord says, okay, that was nice, Larry. Good you did that. But I want to hear what's going on. I want to know, because he already knows, how you're feeling. And sometimes, Larry, you're duplicit with me. I say words outside that do not correspond with what's going on inside. In fact, I get so wacky over that. As you know, I have dinner down at the cathedral. And when we do that, we say evening prayer together. And one of the antiphons is, if I forget you, Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. I never say that. Because I forget Jerusalem all the time, and I don't want my right hand to wither. Right? But we say these prayers, we don't even think about what it means. I'm telling Almighty God, if I forget Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. I don't think so. And they laugh at me because I don't want to pray something I don't mean. And I don't mean that at all. And so the reality that we still got to be people who are real with God, even when it's public prayer, you got to be real, huh? And so the second thing we got to do is persevere. You know, when we persevere, it says there, the word in the gospel to Jesus says, persistence, that we can never give up. We got to keep going back at God, especially when it comes for other people. We just got to keep persisting, never giving up. And we can do that if we're not so concerned about us, right? Again, if you listen to the second reading, and it's beautiful, I don't think we let this enter into us enough. But it says, even when you were dead, that's you and me, it's beyond wicked, we're dead. You were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He brought you to life along with him, having forgiven all your transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. Huh? God's taken all your sins and my sins. He paid the penalty. He nailed it to the cross. So now we can be more concerned about praying for others and being persistent in that prayer. You don't always have to be praying about yourself. Here's Moses praying to save others. Here the guy who wants bread was for feed others. So our prayer got to be more and more other-centered. And we can only do that when we know that he's going to take care of us and our needs, that he's paid the penalty for our sins. He nailed him to the cross. Okay, so we can get over ourselves and be praying for others and persistent in that prayer. And then what it ultimately comes down to is we got to trust God. So the first thing you and I got to do is we got to be people who are real with God. We got to persevere and be persistent in our prayer with God as we're praying, especially for others. And then we got to believe that God is good. Right? And those of you in the faith that know this more, you know, we say it all the time when I'm going around and I'm speaking at places or I'm hearing another speaker and they'll sit there and I'll say, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Some of you didn't sound like you believed it at all. But the reality is a lot of people don't believe God is good. They're always thinking of God as looking at us, waiting for him, for us to mess up so he can pounce on us. Yeah, that's a great image of God. Really think about your image of God. Do you believe with all your heart that God is good? And if he's good, we can trust him, right? God knows what God is about. He knows the promises God makes all things work together for good. That's a promise. And again, we got to take our faith very seriously when God tells us these things. So again, God speaks to all of us about prayer, about how we must be real, how we must persevere, especially in praying for others, and how we must trust him. And then he tells us the very last line of the gospel, what will help us with that? Anybody know? The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Ed. At least Ed sits there and gets it every week. That the Word of God says we do not know how to pray as we ought, so we have the Spirit within us. So every time you and I go to pray, we should always surrender to the Spirit first so that our prayers can be real, so we can persevere, and we can trust that God is good all the time. You got it? You get it? You're going to do it. May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.